All right, if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 20, chapter, well, that's a couple years from now. Chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. We're almost at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. We actually only have two more sermons after this in the Sermon on the Mount. So, and this Sermon on the Mount is a sermon that Jesus gave. This is a part of one sermon that we've been in for since August, I think. So we've been in this for quite a while, and it's a beautiful thing. So much I'm finding over and over and over again, as me and the kids look through the Sermon on the Mount, I'm finding the Sermon on the Mount all over Scripture. The words of Jesus coming clear, the words of Jesus coming out through different stories in different ways, and so it's a beautiful thing. So let me begin with a prayer. Father, we come to you this morning in this text, and it says, not everyone who says to you, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And then you say, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord, that's not who we want to be. We want to be people who are known by you, who know you. We want to be people who understand what you have for us. We want to be people who, when we say, Lord, Lord, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, I pray that today you will just work in us, work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 21 through 27, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. One of the things I love about scriptures and love about going through it slowly is that there is built-in humility all over the scriptures. Places where we get to that doesn't allow us as Christians to point fingers at people. It doesn't allow us to think that these verses are talking about somewhere else. Now, people use verses to point out the flaws in others all the time. However, these scriptures are meant for us to take an honest look at our life. That's what they are meant for. This is one of those places. Built-in humility check that is in Scripture for us. These verses, for you, these verses are not about me. They're not about me. They're not about them. They're not about anybody else. These scriptures for you today, as we read them and as we look at them, are talking about you. They're talking about you, who you are, wherever you're at, wherever, whatever your current state of mind. This scripture is for you. Whatever season in life, whether you're in elementary school or you're pushing 80, this is meant for you today. We get to look at this and we get to humble ourselves before Jesus, each and every one of us, before the scriptures and before the word of Jesus. And here's what I'd like us to do. We get to examine where it is that we might line up with what Jesus has for it and line up in the air and see the areas that we don't line up with him. And then we repent and we get back on track with Jesus. So not everyone who does something for the Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who does something for the Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is a built-in humility marker for us all. Not everyone who calls out in the name of Jesus is for Jesus. We need to take heed lest we fall into arrogance and self-righteousness. In these verses, Jesus is asking us a question, but I don't think it's one. Actually, as I wrote this sermon, it's a whole bunch of questions, I think, that Jesus is asking us here. But I'm going to start with this one. Do you obey the rule of God in your life or not?
No.
The The answer sometimes is no. The answer sometimes is yes as well. Do we obey the rule and authority of God for our lives? Do we follow what God has for us? Or do we lag behind? Or do we ignore it? Or do we get out in front of what God may have for us? Let me ask this question too. Do we assume that we are working with Jesus? Or are we actually working with Jesus? There's a difference between assumption and actually doing the thing. We get to pay attention to our own lives. We get to pay even a closer attention to what God would have for us. And then, you know what we get to do? Do that. We get to do what God would have for us. And we do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to listen. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to watch. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we get to imitate what Jesus would have for us. So in other words, we get to follow. We get to, and I know not everybody likes this word, but we get to submit ourselves. We get to yield ourselves. That means to give up ourselves to the actual lordship of Jesus in our life. In everything we say, in everything we do, and in everything we think. And I love this. This is a quote from George Mueller. It says, whether we are called as missionaries or pastors or clergy or people who work in the church, whether we are called our missionaries or another trade, maybe that's construction, maybe that's digging ditches, maybe that's a student, or any other profession, so whether you're a manager or whatever you may be, a teacher, we should carry our business as the steward, as a steward of the Lord. That's what we get to do. So, do you obey God's leading in your life or not? It's a basic question. We don't do it perfectly, know that. But it is clear that we can do all sorts of religious, this text is showing us that we can do all sorts of religious activities in Jesus' name and not follow what he has for us. We don't get to go around tallying up all our good works before Jesus and show him, look, Jesus, look how many points I scored. Look at what I did for him. By the way, you know what that's called? Karma. Look, my good should outweigh the bad, right, Jesus? That's called karma. That's not grace. We live by grace. We are not our own record keepers. If there is a record that God keeps, then Jesus has taken that record, and the scriptures tell us that he has cleansed it by his blood on the cross, erasing all the wrong and replacing it with, taking all our very imperfect records, dipping them in Jesus' blood, and they come out clean. He has wiped our records clean and gave us his record of perfection. So when you don't follow the will of God, when you don't follow the voice of God, you know what Jesus says? I knew you wouldn't, and I'm still here. Come, follow me. Repent and follow me. That's what he's saying. So I believe that we've all done things in the name of Jesus. I know everybody in this room. I know that we've all done things in the name of Jesus. And so these verses make us stop and ask, did Jesus want us where we were acting in his name? Were you doing good things that God asked of you, or were you just doing good things? Or were you doing what God wants for you? This is in part the issue. Do we do the Lord's will, or are we just attaching him to our agenda? This is a big question. Are we just attaching him, like, I'm going to go about my business, and God, you can come along for the ride? Or do we just bring him along for our tasks? Or do we go about the task that he has laid before us and he has set? Remember, it said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he's like, depart from me, I never knew you. We didn't do the will of the Father. That's what we want to do. Religious activities and religious talk does not equate to living a a life spiritually in tune with Jesus the way that he has for you to walk. Not every good work that we do is, in, even if we say we do it in the name of Jesus, not every good work that we do is done with Jesus. And Jesus wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And you know what that means? We get to follow. And when Jesus says, do this, or he says, do that, then we know that we are working with Jesus. We are his hands and we are his feet. Again, to do this, we need to listen. We need to follow. We need to obey. We can't assume that our eyes are always fixed on him. And so we get to pay attention in humility so that we might never be departed from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this, we're talking about talk and action. So speech and deeds. What we do and what we say matters. What we don't do and what we don't say matters as well. Even Jesus, if you think about this, in Jesus' life, even Jesus didn't raise every friend of his that died from death. Where's Joseph? We don't see him past the birth of Jesus. Jesus didn't raise him from the dead, apparently. He's not there. Jesus didn't heal everybody that he came in contact with, because we can see that the apostles still had people to heal. There are still demons on earth even today. So we know that Jesus, even though he defeated them, he didn't cast them all out. And yet, there was some work that still he left for us to do, because it wasn't his work. And yet, perfectly, he followed the works that God, our good Father, has laid out for him, because you know what Jesus did? He followed. He followed. What, you can ask yourself this question, what is your work? Or you can even ask it in this way. What is not your work? If it's your work, then do that. If it's not your work, leave that work alone. We don't need to take on everything. We can walk through this world and see all the problems, but we don't need to take on everything. We need to take on the works that Jesus leads us to. And when we do those with him, we are then his hands and his feet, and we are truly doing it in Jesus' name. We get to seek God, we get to do his work, and we get to speak his words at times. And in humility, we get to avoid acting out of presumption or assuming that we're always doing God's work. In faith, we know that God sees what is going on in this world. God sees it all, right? He sees all the sadness. He sees all the brokenness. He sees all the hurt. He sees all the loss. God sees it all. And through Christ, he is reconciling all things unto himself. That is what God is doing. We can take that in faith. And so when we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on earth, we get to do the works that he's laid out for us. It's not necessarily the same work that he's laid out for someone else. We get to speak the words and take actions with the people that are in and around us, and hopefully that will lead people to Jesus and encourage them to follow him too. So in humility, we get to avoid duty and act out of the will of our Father because he loves us. Mo and I have asked this question so many times. Just because we can, should we? Just because we can do a good work, should we? This is a thing. By the way, good works are good. We should do them. We should do them. But just because we can doesn't mean that that work is for you or not. Now, it is good to do good works. Amen? It is good to do good works. We are made to do good works. We should be zealous for good works, the scripture tells us. We should be zealous for kind and powerful words that help and encourage and build up one another. We can all desire to follow Jesus in this spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, with signs and wonders done under the power of the Holy Spirit. We should desire it. The very early apostles listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit's leading, and then they did miraculous works, and God gave them powerful speeches and powerful, incredible things. And you know what? We have the same Spirit living inside us too. Powerful signs and wonders that could maybe be done by our hands if Jesus asked for it. But if Jesus asked for it, it's not actually our hands that are doing it. It's the hands and feet of Christ in and among us at work. It's the kingdom of God coming into the earth. It is not a simple profession of obedience that we need. It is the actual obedience proven in the walk and talk of our lives. It is proven in the way that we follow Jesus. There are some of those areas where maybe for you, you today have been resisting Jesus leading in your life. What do you need to let go of? Let's act out of the will of our Father in heaven rather than our own will or our own assumptions. It seems clear that God cares more about us following him than the works that we do. We will have works as we follow, but walking with him is more important. He is the lead, we are the followers. I never want to hear, I'm speaking for myself because this is preaching to me too. I never want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. The truth is, and I believe I can speak for you guys too, I want to be known by God. Now, of course, God knows who we are. He knows how many hairs on every human head is in this world. But what he is saying when I said I knew you is he's saying that, hey, we weren't friends. You did this on your own. You did this without me. You weren't in my name. You were just out there doing it for whatever other reason he may apply to you. You were my enemy. You didn't do things for me. But I want God to know my name and say it with a smile. Say it and know that there is a twinkle in his eye because of his great love for me, his true son, through the powerful work of Jesus Christ. I want to be known. And that means I want to know him and his will as well. A commentator that I like said this, to know is more than an acquaintance. It's more than recognition, and it denotes a relationship. I would say it denotes a friendship. To be known is friendship, right? In friendship, there's intimacy. Friendship yields to one another. So we follow Jesus, but you know what Jesus does? He also gives us the desires of our hearts, the ones that are yielded to him. To know and to be in friendship happens in conversations. And in conversations, there is periods of talking and there's periods of listening. There's moments when we pour out our hearts and let our hearts known. And then there are times when we let that heart be poured onto us and so that we can know. This is what we're at with God. Knowing is also considerations. It is considerate, not forceful, and it's full of grace and humility before each other. God is not harsh. He's not bully. He's not a harsh parent like I can be sometimes. He doesn't say, do this or else. That's not the heart of God. He may say, do this, even when he's asking hard things, things that we may not in our natural want to do. But there are times when there are always times when God asks us to do these hard things, he knows that they are best for us. He knows that they are best for us. It's like when I force my kids to go on vacation with me, I know that in the end, it's going to be best for them to go on these things. But God is so much better than just taking somebody on vacation. Jesus wants this. He wants relational activity. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to get to know his likes and dislikes. He wants us to share with him our likes and dislikes. It seems like God cares more about us following Jesus, living in relationship with him, being known by him and getting to know him, than working or speaking for him without him. We will have work along the way, but he is more important, always. So this built-in humility helps us rely on Jesus. God doesn't say to Jesus, depart from me, I never knew you. That's not what he said. God says, well done, my good and faithful son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus knows that we won't follow him perfectly. He knows that we won't rely on him perfectly. He knows we'll get out in front, we'll lag behind, we'll say no at times. He knows that we do works that aren't ours, and we avoid work that is ours. He knows better than we did. And you know what? Jesus did this for us. Jesus not only erases the record of all our errant deeds, he also gifts us as his friend. He gifts us his good deeds. That's what he does. If we look to Scripture, we will see people do amazing things without Jesus. We can see people prophesy. We can see people cast out demons. And if we look today, we can see the same thing in the churches. Great things done in the name of Jesus that might not be done for Jesus. That's not for us to judge. That's for God to figure out and sort through. But we can see it time and time again. We don't have to focus on those works, the ones that we have no control over. We get to focus on our personal following of Jesus. That's what we get to focus on. Our working with him, our deepening relationship, our friendship, that's what we get to do. We don't get to focus on, or we don't have to focus on anybody else's. So last week, I was reading about, read the autobiography of George Mueller. And if you don't know George Mueller, that's okay. He was a man of great faith, a man who handed out tons of scripture for free, as well as he started and ran an orphanage that took in children who otherwise would have grown up in the poor houses at that time, which basically meant child labor. His story is actually one that I really love. It's full of faith. His prayer life shows that he really truly was dependent on Lord for everything, including his literal daily bread over and over and over and over again. And he kept on bringing these same prayers over to him, and God kept on providing for him over and over again. He's an unbelievable man, and I would encourage you to read his stories. He had to be, one of the things I loved about this is he had to be sustained from mountaintop to mountaintop. He had valleys where he was in deep want, and then God provided, deep want, and then provided over and over and over again. So it was almost like there was never enough. George Mueller always wanted more of God's provision in his life. He had to be sustained. George Mueller's need was endless. He was a model for dependence on God. And he was a model for all those who live by faith and want to live by faith in Jesus. And as I was reading this book and studying for this text, I realized as George Mueller was very inspirational, that George Mueller's walk with Jesus is not my walk with Jesus. I found an affinity for the man, no question about it. But the good works that George Mueller had to do, the times that, and I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be people of prayer. We're supposed to be people of prayer. We're supposed to be dependent. And that way we can be like George Mueller. But in the things that we're praying for, they're different. In the ways that we go about it, they're different. Jesus had a different work for George Mueller than he does for me and than he does for you. The work that I'm doing isn't your work. The work that you're doing isn't my work. It shows that we don't have to do things like one another, but you know what we get to do? Follow Jesus and do his work for us. I say this because I don't know what your relationship with Jesus looks like right now, because I can't see inside your heart, and I don't know what it's going to look like as you continue to follow. I'm not going to promise success, and if you just devote everything to Jesus, it's all going to go well. I'm going to promise you this, that if you follow Jesus, he'll be with you, because that's what he says. It's not even my promise. It's the promise of Jesus. I know this, though. I don't know what your relationship's going to look like. I just know that I want it to be deepened. I want you to become better friends with Jesus. I don't know what God might have for you to do one day. I don't know. But whatever it is, that is what I want for you. That is what I want for you. We don't have to look to others except to be encouraged to keep going. We are never in a game of comparison, who's doing more, who's doing less. That's not what we do, because we are following. So I'm a father, and I'm not perfect. My kids can say amen to that. But my relationship with each and every one of my kids is different. You know why? Because they're different. I don't treat them all exactly the same. When it is just me and each of the kids in conversations, these conversations look different. And what we do may even look different, except for on camping trips, with the exception of fishing. And that is the way that they yield to my likes. And I also do things that they like to do, too. Our perfect father wants a relation. Our perfect father wants a relationship with you. And I'm not talking about me. Our perfect father in heaven wants a relationship with each and every one of us. He wants you to know him, and he wants to be known by you. As only you can know him, as only you can serve him, as only you can follow him, because he loves all of us, even the whole world. Amen? Past, present, future, everybody. But he loves you. And he wants to know you. And he wants you to know him. Not just the whole world, but you. So let us know our Father who art in heaven. Let us follow his Son Jesus with the same Holy Spirit that he did. He is wanting to know us. Are we going to let ourselves yield to him so we may be known by him and he may know us? Let's reset our lives on what Jesus has for us. And then let us be about that in word, in deed, in everything that we do. So Jesus, we come before you. We lay down our lives before you. We need you. Lord, we really desire for you to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And for us to actually do the will of God our Father who is in heaven. So, Lord, I pray that we may do this. I pray that we may lay down ourselves and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.